From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the Inside the Parker podcast. Rob Parker here, you there. What a big show we have for you today. We're going to talk with Nick Swisher, the former outfielder, first baseman, and Fox Sports 1 analyst. Also stopping by, we're going to talk to an NBA hooper. That's right, Eddie House, who's a huge baseball fan. He'll talk about his hometown Oakland A's and his love for the game, plus that and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
The New York Metropolitans are balling. I ripped them. I told them they were bad. That they should be sellers at the trade deadline. That they shouldn't do anything because they were so far out. But here we are. And as of Tuesday, the Mets won an 11-1 stretch. They're red hot. And now they are just 2.5 games out of the wild card. Washington's ahead. Philly's ahead. St. Louis is ahead. Milwaukee's ahead. And the Mets are right there. I mean, they obviously have to jump over a lot of people, but this is an incredible story. Now, I'm not going to poo-poo their hot streak because since the All-Star break, they're 17-6, and they have the best record in the major leagues. Just one thing. This has been built on beating up bad teams. Out of those games that they've played since the break, only two have come against teams currently over 500 since the All-Star break. So they have feasted on bad teams. But I'm not going to beat them up for that. They're on the schedule. You have to be able to beat them. So I'm not going to rip the Mets. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs and jump over four other teams? I don't think so. But if you're a Mets fan, you got to feel good that they didn't just throw in a towel. It's fun to go to Citi Field. And don't forget, it wasn't that long ago, I think 2015, when the Mets went to the World Series. I know it's a different team, but the Mets are in the playoff race. They just are. Let's see what they do against some of the better teams as we move forward.
Number two.
On Monday, the Boston Red Sox snapped their 8-game losing streak. They were awful. You smell that? They lost 4 to Tampa Bay, 4 to the Yankees. And here's the best part. In those 8 games, their starting pitching, the ERA was 10.70. They were absolutely bomb. We're talking about a staff with Chris Sale. We're talking about a staff with David Price. We're talking about guys who have been there, done that, won big games. I don't know if anybody who could have believed that the Red Sox would be this awful out of the race. I know they're only about 6.5 games out of the wild card as of Tuesday, but I'm going to tell you, just the feel of it, I believe they're out of it. I don't believe there's a comeback. Their pitching is raggedy. It's not the same team. And this is the weird part. They've actually scored the most runs in the American League. So they're scoring runs, but they can't get people out. And for the record, they've already lost more games this year than they did all of last year.
Number three.
Everybody's buzzing about the Houston Astros, especially Tuesday night, because Zach Greinke, their new piece, their prime piece that they got in the trade deadline, made his debut for the Astros. Everybody's saying they're the favorites now. Look at what they have as far as a rotation, and they're hoping that Zach Greinke could be that third piece to go with Verlander, to go with Garrett Cole and give them an unbelievable three-headed monster going into a series come postseason time. I think that on paper they are the favorite, but I've also seen teams with great starting pitching. I saw it with the Tigers. They had three MVP, three Cy Youngs, the three reigning Cy Youngs in Price, Verlander, and Scherzer. And they got swept by the Baltimore Orioles. So it's one thing to compile these kind of talent. It's another thing to put it together and win.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome in former Major League outfielder and first baseman Nick Swisher, one of the more colorful guys in the game, also a broadcaster for FS1. This guy was an all-star in 2010, also won a World Series in 2009 with the Yankees. Swish, thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh, anytime, Rob. You know that, bro. I got your back.
Appreciate it. Hey, what's the biggest surprise to you this season? Is it the Boston Red Sox and how they went from a World Series to basically just falling off the map this year? Is that the biggest surprise? Or how well the Dodgers are playing?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that's a surprise. I mean, there hasn't been a team repeat as a World Series champ since the early 2000s. So that doesn't really surprise me. I mean, you got to remember how much pressure is put on these guys come the postseason, how many extra innings these pitchers have to throw. And at the end of the day, when you pitch all the way up until, you know, the beginning of November, I mean, that doesn't give you exactly a lot of time to get yourself ready for that next season. Was I a little disappointed with the way that David Price and Chris Sale have pitched this year? Absolutely. But offensively, you can't be mad at that. I mean, these guys are doing a tremendous job. It's just, I think at the end of the day, the starting pitching and bullpen has kind of let the Red Sox down this year.
We saw the Astros do a blockbuster deal to make them, at least on paper, the favorites at the trading deadline, which was on the 31st of July. And Switch, let's just admit it. They pick up Zach Greinke to add to their rotation. Tell me about the Astros. Are they going back to the World Series, and can they win it again for the second time in 3 years?
Well, Rob, you know me, baby. I bleed those pinstripes, man, so I'm hoping not. But I think just right now with where they are, they definitely look like the front runners in the American League. Obviously, I feel like it's the Los Angeles Dodgers and everybody else in the National League, and I think there's two upper echelon teams in the American League that I think will battle it out for that berth into the World Series, and I think it's going to be the Astros and the New York Yankees. I think the one thing that both of those teams are striving for is that home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Obviously, for the New York Yankees, they play extremely well in the Bronx, as well do the Houston Astros at home. Obviously, bringing over a guy like Zach Greinke, I mean, nobody thought that was going to happen. Now, all of a sudden, you got Justin Verlander, you got Garrett Cole, and now you bring over Zach Greinke. That's a great little wrinkle from those right-handed flamethrowers. Now you kind of got, you know, the right-handed, he's really just a pitcher. The guy knows exactly what he's doing. Offensively, that team, they don't struggle anywhere. Defensively, they're amazing. At the end of the day, man, it's so hard to say that the Houston Astros aren't the front-running team right now, especially with all the injuries that have happened to the Yankees. But also, the Yankees just keep winning. I mean, it's like all of a sudden, Giancarlo goes down. All these guys go down, and it's just next man up mentality. I feel like they just set the record for most home runs against a single opponent the other day in Baltimore, 30-plus home runs against a team in one season. That's pretty impressive. It's definitely going to be a battle. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, I can't wait for the playoffs to get going. And then hopefully, you know, it's been a minute since the Yankees have won, man. 2009, we're coming on 10 years. And you know how those people in New York can get, baby, when they don't win their championships. They can get a little antsy over there.
No doubt about it. Speaking of that, at the trade deadline, the Yankees didn't make a move. Everybody thought they would get a starter. And also, talking about it's been a minute, it's been 31 years since the Dodgers have won a World Series, 1988, Swish. And think about this, 1988.
Can you believe that?
And when you think about it, they've gone the last 2 years. How shocked were you that they didn't pull the trigger on some bullpen help?
Well, you know what, man? I think that the Los Angeles Dodgers know exactly who they are. And at the end of the day, think about it, man. If you've got Kenley Jansen at the back end of the bullpen doing what he knows how to do, then you don't have to worry about a thing. If Joe Kelly picks himself up from the kind of the rough season he's had and all of a sudden he pitches tremendously in the postseason, nobody's going to remember that at all. I think with the starting pitching, the strength of the starting pitching that the Los Angeles Dodgers have, with guys like Walker Buehler, who is just growing up right in front of our eyes, Ryu has, I mean, he was the all-star starter. So I think that with where they are, along with Clayton Kershaw as well, I mean, these guys have the starters that can go deep in the game. So hopefully you can take a little pressure off the bullpen. The New York Yankees, they're exactly the opposite. Starting pitching is a weakness. Bullpen is your strength. So it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. I mean, obviously the New York Yankees lineup is built to score early and hold the lead late. And with the Astros, man, they're starting pitching and bullpen and offense. Those guys can do it all.
There was another suspension for PEDs in baseball. Tim Beckham with Seattle, who started the season as their shortstop, was suspended for 80 games. This is the second year in a row Seattle's had this issue because Robinson Cano was suspended last year. Is this always going to be in the game where someone's, you know, trying to stay on the field or feel good, or is there a way to really stop this totally?
You know what, Rob? I don't know, man. And that's, this is the first I'm hearing of that, and that's really upsetting that somebody like Tim Beckham would do something like that. I mean, obviously in Seattle, man, they kind of lead the league in cycles.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it, man. You got Nelson Cruz got popped.
Yep.
Robinson Cano got popped. You know, D. Gordon got popped. I mean, all sorts of guys over there in Seattle are getting, you know, popped left and right. I think, Rob, and I think this is just like anything else, man, if you want to get rid of steroids in the game, then you need to make the first offense a lifetime ban.
Wow.
That will definitely create a little fear, and I think that will definitely make guys think second, you know, think about it a little differently if those would be the cases. Obviously, I don't think that's going to be the case. I always think there's going to be guys trying to get the upper hand. And it's a shame, man, because everybody out there is trying to play on a level playing field, yet you get some certain guys that try and step themselves up to make themselves better. In Tim Beckham's case, that's upsetting. Young player trying to work himself up, get himself into that rotation. Man, that sucks. I hate hearing that.
Hey, last thing. I told you one of the most entertaining, fun guys. I got to cover you. I was in New York when you guys won the World Series. But This weekend is a players' weekend where they get to put nicknames. That's
How
coming
awesome
up.
Is that?
I'm sorry. It's August 23rd to August 25th. What would you use for your name if you were able to do that?
Probably Swishalicious, baby. You know what I mean?
There you go,
just
John Sterling.
Huge name all across the back. Swishalicious, man. I think I'd roll with that one.
That would be pretty sweet. And, of course, legendary Yankee announcer gave you that Swishalicious, right, when you hit home runs?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. John Sterling, man. That was amazing.
His name is Nick Swisher. And if you want to get more of his insight, make sure you watch him on Fox baseball coverage. Hey, Nick. Thank you so much. We appreciate you, and stay well, bro.
Yes, sir, my friend. Good talking to you, brother. Anytime you need me, bro, I'll be there for you.
Thank you.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
FS1's Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What you got for me, Anthony?
All right, Rob, as a baseball fan, it's likely you've had these types of arguments with your friends over the years. Who's a better defender, Mike Trout or Mookie Betts? Well, defense is hard to put a number on. We're getting closer to a more definitive answer than just the eye test. Outs above average, or OAA, is a metric based on an outfielder's range that shows how many outs a player has saved over his peers. A couple weeks ago on the podcast, we talked about catch probability, the likelihood of an outfielder making a catch based on speed, exit velocity, and positioning. Well, outs above average, or OAA, is the season-long accumulation of each individual instance of catch probability. Say an outfielder has a ball hit to him with an 80% catch probability. If he makes it, he gets a credit of 0.2 points. If he misses it, he loses 0.8 points. Now add that all up over an entire season, you'll see which outfielders make the most of their opportunities. This season, the Nationals' Victor Robles leads all of baseball with an OAA of plus 14, while on the flip side, the Mariners' Domingo Santana brings up the rear with an OAA of minus 13. And answer that question we asked before, who's better, Betts or Trout? Well, Mookie Betts has an OAA of plus 5 this season, Trout only at plus 1.
All right, Anthony, we'll check into that. I'm not so sure if I'm on board, but we appreciate you.
That ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? I don't believe it! My
or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
Marlins rookie Eason Diaz hit a 422-foot home run against Cy Young Award winner Jake DeGrom for his first major league hit. As he hit it, the Marlin announcers were interviewing his father, who went ballistic. Is it foul or fair to say that Diaz's dad's home run call was one of the best in Major League Baseball history?
Totally fair.
It's a fair ball.
Baseball is all about the journey between a father and a son more than any sport. Not only did the Marlins announcers capture that in the moment, Rob, when Diaz hit the homer, hours of training, sacrifice by Eason and his family is rewarded right there. But the home run call by his dad, it got to be one of the best in history. Like you mentioned, his father went psycho mode, but it was the perfect moment. It was a baseball father's exhale, captured for the world to see. All of the stars aligned for Diaz. His dad and Hollywood couldn't have scripted it any better. Marlins fans, they're suffering through this rebuild. Derek Jeter's been criticized for trading all the Marlins superstars. So he had to be happy to see one of his young acquisitions from the Yelich trade grab some headlines. That was an inspired call.
All right, JR, I totally agree with you.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week. Number three.
The Houston Astros. I know everybody's saying, Rob, stop it. What are you talking about? They just got Greinke. They got unbelievable pitching. As of Tuesday, they had 73 wins, only 40 losses. But the Astros, I'm sorry. When you look at the other teams ahead of them, it's only that reason that they're number three.
Number two.
The Los Angeles Dodgers. They have the most wins in the Major League. 75-40 as of Tuesday. But let's just get real. They score a ton of runs, but that bullpen just continues to get exposed. And it's going to be a sore spot. That's the reason why I can't really take a look at them and think they're the best team, because you just don't know what you're going to get with that bullpen.
Number one.
The New York freaking Yankees. Yes, sir. Coming into Tuesday, 73-39. They had the fewest losses in baseball, despite all the injuries. It's incredible what the Yankees have been able to do. We're in August now. Giancarlo Stanton has one home run this season. Do you hear me? The big stud slugger. And the Yankees are still with the fewest losses in the game. They are the best team in baseball.
Take out the paper, then the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is Shion Moengard, and he tweets this. Why the hell didn't the Dodgers fix the bullpen before the trade deadline? We have big pockets but only seem to look too far in the future and not the present. I'm sick of being second. If you want a chance to win a new era snapback cap, send your trash to @RobParkerFS1 on Twitter.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
Let's welcome in NBA champion. You heard me right. National Basketball Association champion, Eddie House, to the podcast. For people who don't know, Eddie House played in the NBA, played for a number of teams, was a champion in 2008, but he is also a guy who loves baseball. What's happening, Eddie?
I'm doing good, man. What's happening with you guys?
Doing great. Hey, tell me about your roots with baseball as a kid, growing up in Berkeley. Who were your favorite people? How much did you really like baseball?
Well, I loved it. That was my first love. I really believed that I was going to play Major League Baseball. That was my first goal until about eighth grade, where, you know, my pops hit me where you got to get a scholarship. That's the only way you're going to go to college. And I couldn't find any pickup baseball games. It was hard to work on my game by myself. I always had to have somebody, and nobody, you know, pops work, my mom work. So it was hard to find people to work on our game together. Basketball was just an easy transition for me to say, hey, you know what, if I want to try to do that, I know I could find a game anywhere. If I wanted to work on my handles, I could do that by myself. If I wanted to go get shots up, I could do it by myself. So that's how I made the transition. But growing up, man, going to the A's games, catching BART with my friends, a lot of times we would be in grade school and we would actually catch the BART. We'll play pickle on the BART train on the way to the game. We get to the game. I remember the first time I ever caught a ball was in the outfield. Hal McCray at batting practice, he threw the ball. Hal McCray Jr., he threw the ball up to me and caught it. It was dope. But my favorite player, Ricky Henderson, favorite athlete of all time is Ricky Henderson, man. I really thought that I was going to be Ricky Henderson. And in my mind, I was on my way until I changed my mind to start playing hoop.
That's a great player to want to be, a Hall of Famer, all-time stolen base leader. What was it about? Did you have wheels back then, or was it just he could do everything? He could home runs. He could, steal bases. He hit for average. I mean, he was an all-around great player.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, he was from Oakland as well, so he was a guy that was very relatable, just knowing that, hey, this is a guy that come from the same place, the same city you came from. He's playing for the organization that you love. And so it was very relatable to me. I played left field. I mean, I simulated everything about him, the way he led off, the way he'd get a jump, stealing bases. I was a leadoff hitter. I didn't hit for that much power. I wasn't that big, but I hit for average. I get on base. I had speed. I steal bases. And so for me, Ricky was just, he could do no wrong, man. The first time I fell in love with him, my cousin had a poster of him. It was when he set the record for most stolen bases in a single season. And he's standing there with, like, cleats over his, they're tied up and they're on his shoulder. And the bottom of them were, like, glowing because they were on fire for him running. And from that moment on, I mean, that's when I fell in love with wanting to be like Ricky Henderson.
Talk about the Oakland A's. I mean, considering the low payroll, they've been making the playoffs. They've been beating the odds. Do they have to eventually win a World Series to justify all the stuff that they've done? Or are you cool with them just being competitive and being in the mix? I think at some point fans want to win, don't they?
Oh, you definitely want to win. And you got to have stars on your team. I don't care what anybody says. You can only go so far without star power. And that's the thing about the A's that's so frustrating is we'll have a team, we'll build a team, and we'll have stars, and then everybody else will pluck them for a while there. We were like the farm system for everybody in the major leagues. You know, Tejada was getting plucked from us. Cespedes got plucked from us. I mean, it's so many. The list goes on and on, all the guys that have been within the A's organization to go on to another team and be successful. But we definitely have to – I like what we're doing this year. I look at this team as they don't quit. They'll get down, but they will not quit. They stay competing. The one thing about them they need to do, they need to shore up their bullpen, which a lot of teams, besides that, I think the Yankees probably have the best bullpen in baseball right now, but they definitely have to shore up their bullpen because you don't have those horses as starting pitchers to where you can rely on them to pretty much shut guys down for 7-8 innings. And then, you know, you can rely on a suspect bullpen to you know, hold it off for one inning and then bring in your closer to finish the game off. We don't have that. So I wish we had better help. We had better bullpen. But as of right now, man, the game yesterday against the Cubs was a perfect example. We went up 2-1 and we end up going down 6-2 in the seventh inning. And we fought all the way back. We end up losing 6-5 with an opportunity with Semien on, with two runners on base to win the game and to go up. And, that's just the indication of how they don't quit and they continue to play and fight and scratch. And that's what you have to do. You got to piece things together. It's not just going to be home runs all the time. You got to sometimes go station to station and then pop that home run when you get an opportunity to, but you have to play baseball.
Eddie, we got 30 seconds. You just mentioned home runs. Are you digging the home runs in Major League Baseball? I mean, they're leaving the yard. Are you cool with it?
I mean, it's cool for the I like a pitcher's duel. I like pitchers to go out there and I like the way that a pitcher can manipulate the strike zone, manipulate, keep batters off balance. That's what I like about baseball. I mean, it's cool to see the home runs, but it's so many of them, it's starting to get monotonous to me. I'd much rather see I think we will see that. It'll start shrinking down in these playoffs. When the playoffs come, I don't think the ball will be jumping out of the jumping off the bat the way it has been. They might change balls when the playoffs come.
There you go. His name is Eddie House, of course, NBA champion in 2008 with the Boston Celtics. A huge baseball fan, and let me tell you, Eddie and I text, we talk baseball when we see each other working at FS1. So, Eddie, great to have you on the program, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, man. Anytime, brothers.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
It's simple. August 23rd to August 25th, Major League Baseball will allow players to put nicknames on the back of their uniform. They've been doing it for years. I love it. It allows you fans to buy, like, for players to be creative, for fans to buy new jerseys. And this is the reason that Major League Baseball is better than the NBA and better than the NFL. This is creative. Baseball normally doesn't do this. They're not normally fan-friendly. They're not normally thinking outside the box with all the traditions that come in baseball. The idea that a player could come up with some name and put that on the back and wear it that weekend, I think that's awesome. Hats off, Major League Baseball. You got it right. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.